This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Tracks the remains of a person whose death occurred in the state from death to final disposition, if the final disposition is in Illinois. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website, nowdecatur.com.
Anger in Arizona. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's in the legislature. State Rep. Annalise Ortiz and other Democrats chanting at Republicans for ending discussion and adjourning amid attempts to repeal a near total ban on all abortions looming after Arizona's Supreme Court upheld an abortion ban dating back to 1864. Former President Trump said while campaigning that Arizona ban goes too far and it will be straightened out.
Former President Trump's first stop in Georgia, Chick-fil-A, where he urged Atlanta's black community to back him.
I've done more for the black community than any other president since Abraham Lincoln.
Trump, who lost Georgia in 2020, is back in the state to raise money.
Fox's Mark Meredith in Atlanta. In New York, a third Trump attempt this week to delay his first criminal trial was rejected by a judge. He calls it election interference. Jury selection is supposed to start Monday. The former president charged with falsifying records related to 2016 payments to keep quiet an affair he denies having. At the White House, President Biden honored Japan's prime minister at a state dinner.
We've been brought together the same hopes, the same values, the same commitment to democracy and freedom.
Today, they and the president of the Philippines will hold talks on threats China poses. Threats that FBI Director Christopher Wray may discuss at a House hearing.
Wray says the FBI opens a new investigation into China every 10 hours. Some of those investigations could be opening right here in the United States after a surge of Chinese nationals crossing the southern border near San Diego, home to the U.S. Navy's 3rd Fleet, 2 Marine Corps bases, and West Coast SEAL teams.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, one person's dead and 5 injured after a shooting in Washington, D.C. Several others were hurt when gunfire interrupted a Muslim end of Ramadan celebration in Philadelphia. The Biden administration is finalizing new rules to expand background checks on more firearm sales like online and at gun shows. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
All right, who's there for heroes or their families left behind when a service member or a first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless vets? I'll tell you who. It's the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. They're hoping all of us will donate $11 a month. Just go to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org, the letter T, number 2, letter T.org for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
A wrench thrown in the works in Congress on a key national security tool.
19 Republicans voted against advancing a bill to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, which the intelligence community says is vital to stopping terror threats. Populist Republicans like Chip Roy of Texas were against the bill because it lacked a requirement for a warrant.
The American people are tired of the same old in this town. Civil liberties matter, and this bill wasn't good enough.
FISA 702 allows for the warrantless surveillance of foreign persons, but those wanting reform say it's been used to target political opponents. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Former President Trump posted on Truth Social, kill the FISA program, claiming it was illegally used against him and many others spying on his 2016 campaign. But House Speaker Mike Johnson says they'll regroup and keep trying, saying it's too important for national security to let that FISA section expire. From FISA to FAFSA.
A House Education Subcommittee discussed the botched rollout of FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Technical problems resulted in a delay in college students getting loans. Mark Kantrowitz, president of a company called Cerebly, was one of the witnesses.
There are 2.8 million fewer FAFSAs filed this year as compared with the same time last year. The drop in college enrollment may be worse than during the pandemic, causing some colleges to close.
He said a focus on student loan forgiveness programs may be in part to blame for the failures, but Education Secretary Miguel Cardona told a House Appropriations Subcommittee that's not true. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are falling before a wholesale inflation update this hour, the day after a sell-off reacted to consumer prices rising more than expected last month. The Masters, golf's first major tournament of the year, was supposed to tee off now at Augusta in Georgia, but bad weather has delayed the start, now set for 10:30 a.m. Eastern. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
A primary care physician from Memorial Care can help you better manage your medications. Having one provider who knows your health can help ensure your meds are working together. Physicians in Decatur are accepting new patients. Visit memorial.health today.
Does it hurt to twist? Does the pain persist? Maybe it's time you see a specialist. Memorial Specialty Care is your source for specialists, providing the expertise you need to patients at DMH. To learn more, visit memorial.health today.
Coach House Garages, designed to fit your life, budget, and dreams. Built on generations of Amish craftsmanship with the best warranty in the industry, where service is more than a promise, it's a guarantee. Their custom-built buildings have been turned into all kinds of spaces, from garden sheds and pool houses to workshops and guest houses. The possibilities are endless. You can count on Coach House to listen to your needs and create the perfect building to fit your vision. For more information, visit CoachHouseGarages.com.
Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. Chance of showers with thunderstorms, cloudy, and a high of 62. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low around 45. For Friday, partly sunny, high near 64, and Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 50 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06.
Good morning and welcome to the 7 o'clock hour. We have the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, in studios with us. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Reaction packed on this rainy morning. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on not a beautiful Thursday. We got rain everywhere, but it is going to be a beautiful weekend. Get your roller skates out and head to Fairview. We got a lot to discuss between now and the end of the show. Debbie Bogle a little later today with an update on the United Way. Got the food truck frenzy. Wow, just tons. Don't you just sort of feel like, not that summer's here, but we're just right around the corner.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Me too. 80s. Funny. Paul Osborne in studios with us here today. I have to tell you, you must be way more active on social media than I am. you wrote about in your column this week a post that Brad Halbrook's opponent, Marsha Webb, who ran against him for state rep, posted, and I found this at, I think it was March 28th. So about a week or so ago, that she wasn't going to post this until after the election, win or lose. But she recounts some of the things that she ran into while running for this office. And I'm kind of flabbergasted by it. I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah, that's what it, and I certainly during campaigns, I keep pretty close tabs on the candidates. When they don't send out news releases or anything, you check their, you know, Facebook pages and that to see what's going on, see where they are, and see what they're writing. And Marsha Webb wrote after the election was over, she said, basically, I have a long story to tell. And she recounted her experiences in running for office. She said her opponent won fair and square. She's not saying he didn't win. And
all right, well, let's start with the first of these allegations. The last week of December of 2022, she said that she had heard from several people that her opponent was telling people he would not be running again. She says she called him, requested a meeting. They met at Wits End in Macon around 11:40, right before noon. Said the meeting lasted just short of 2 hours. I stated that I'd heard a rumor he would not be seeking reelection. He stated it was not a rumor, that he made a term limit pledge of 5 terms. Now, prior to the meeting, I had a letter I drafted stating my desire to run. However, I wouldn't primary him if he was going to run. And after being assured repeatedly in that meeting that he was not going to run, he then changed his mind, I guess.
Yeah, and found out later that he had decided to run. I don't know if he was encouraged to stay in or what, but, you know, he has a right to change his mind if he wants to run again.
She says he gave her advice step by step on how to launch the campaign.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, when she got involved in this, that she got involved because he wasn't running again, and she was assured that he wasn't going to run again, or she wouldn't have probably been running.
So. Yeah. She also writes, he proceeded to advise me step by step. He did state he would not endorse any candidate until after the primary. He asked that I not announce until he announced his retirement, which would be the week or week after Easter of 2023. 3 weeks prior to that, I called him and advised I had my announcement venue and guests set for April 25th. He then stated he needed until May 19th to see what the election laws were. I told him I was proceeding as planned. He then mocked Darren Bailey, who was planning on attending. He stated, oh, the guy who I got more votes than he did in Shelby County. I don't know what that means. The night I announced, when it was over, my then campaign manager received a call from a state senator requesting a meeting. My then campaign manager and I met with him at Napoli's, maybe right out the window here, yeah, Decatur. He did not tell me not to run, but was encouraging me not to, as he heard my opponent was going to run. I stayed the course. Anyway, she goes on to like people being chewed out by a congresswoman. Can't imagine that's Nikki Budzinski. Wonder who it could be. And that she was followed home by cars at night. I mean, there's a long list of intimidation, she's basically suggesting, by local Republicans or members of the Freedom Caucus after this guy, Brad Halberg, assured her he was not running. He was going to live up to his pledge, because that's what they all do in the Freedom Caucus, is term limit pledge, and then none of them keep their word. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. I was kind of shocked by it. And say, I keep tabs on candidates and before and after to see what the aftermath is. I was a little surprised to see this. I was even more surprised to see the detail in it, even the times of meetings and where they met and what was said. You know, unfortunately, even though she mentions congresswoman, she mentions state representative or senator, there are no names attached to that. So you can't really start digging around and saying she accused you of doing this or doing that. But she doesn't really mention any names. And she said, you know, as I indicated, that her opponent won. Her opponent won that race. So she's not complaining because she lost. She just didn't care much for the tactics that were used by members of her own party.
In July, I received a phone call that a state representative, not my opponent, called a prominent political figure and told him that it was his fault I was running and get me out of the race. A few weeks later, the same state representative called him again, this time telling him to keep me out of Shelbyville and Shelby County, as it was upsetting my opponent. Then yet another state representative was on the same airplane as this prominent political figure and told him to offer me a staff job to get me out of the race each time I stayed the course. And then she describes at the Windsor Harvest Parade. There are very specifics about when and where, right?
Yeah, pretty detailed.
My then campaign manager was verbally berated by a U.S. congresswoman for being with my campaign. She goes on, describes all the bullying. I mean, this all sounds like a day in the week for the Freedom Caucus to me, doesn't it?
I don't know. It sounds unfortunate to me, and that's one reason that, you know, that I didn't have the space to go into the detail that you're reading here. But the fact that I did read all of that, I thought what really struck me is that she has time down to the minute and where people met, where she met people, where it happened, and not only to her, but to people who were part of her campaign. So it's just not her saying this happened. It's her campaign manager and others in her campaign. I think she indicated that everyone except one person stayed with her campaign throughout the...
Even though they were threatened about jobs and everything else.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's... We wonder why more people don't get involved in races.
First of all, these are allegations, and as you said, I don't know.
Right.
But if he did, in fact, meet with her and tell her that he was not running, right, and then somewhere along the course changed his mind, which is his also his right to
That's
do.
Right, yeah.
But to then go after, and I mean, you know, you're the one that stood up in front of the cameras and promised a pledge, you know, a term limit, right?
Yeah.
And then you break your word, you break your word to her, and then treat her like the villain, which is what these people do all the time, right? I mean, there's no honor in any of this. I mean, that may be an old-fashioned word, but it used to mean something.
Yeah, I think what is kind of disturbing is that this seemed to be, you know, and I certainly don't know her that well, but seemed to be a person honestly motivated to seek the office, you know, for the right reason. She kind of, you know, dotted all the I's, crossed the T's before she got into it. She made sure that she wasn't going to compete with the incumbent, that he wasn't going to run again. She was assured he wasn't. So she went ahead to do it, you know, which, and the incumbent, as you said, it's his right to change his mind. He just kind of left her hanging out here. And if that's the case, he decides to run again, then he has an opponent, you know, and she has every right to keep running, even though he decided to get into the race.
I think it just, to me, it's what's wrong with politics today. And this isn't necessarily this case. It's a Republican, but it's not red or blue to me. It's this entitlement that once these people get in, they just feel like it's theirs as long as they want it.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a fever in the blood. They used to describe it. You get in it, and many times you go in with most people with extremely honest motivation. You're going to go in, you're going to change things, you're going to do things for your constituency, and you get caught up in the system. You get caught up in everything that's happening there, and it gets in your blood.
I think
you can't give it up.
It's the perks and the perceived power of just everybody. The idea that you run on term limits, and Dan did this too, and don't let him fool you. He changed the mileage on that. You know, when you go out and you make a pledge to the people that the problem with all these folks over here is they're there too long and I'm going to run and I'm only going to do this. And then you turn around and break that. You just lied to everyone.
Well, we've seen that in the past.
A lot of times.
Yeah, and people in our own area that, you know, have done that and pledged 10 years and stay in office 20 years.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, yeah, when I've encountered people, I'm saying, you know, you promised to do this. Well, yeah, you say that. You know, when you're running, you say a lot of things. Well, yeah, maybe you should just say the truth when you're, you know, when you're running.
But here is what I know about the Illinois Freedom Caucus. Whomever she's describing in any of this, and whichever congresswoman she's, you know, describing in all of this, they are out for each other, and that is it. They're not representing us. They're not doing anything for their constituents. They've just got their little network of protecting them and theirs. That's what they do.
Well, and that's apparently what she ran into. And she doesn't mention Freedom Caucus here. She doesn't refer to that organization. And you know, to that group of people, and she doesn't use any names. So I guess we have to just kind of read between the lines and say this is why this happened, and this is where it happened, and who the people were that were doing this.
Well, she mentions Darren Bailey's name. She mentions her opponent's name. She mentions another state rep that's not her opponent. I don't think she's talking about somebody from Chicago. And she literally mentions a congresswoman.
Yeah.
There are two congresswomen in central Illinois that would have anything to do with this district. And Nikki Budzinski wouldn't have been marching with the Republicans in Windsor.
You wouldn't think so, would you?
Not in her district.
Well,
so I think we can go more than just. Now, these are her representations. I have no idea. But this is typical political behavior. I mean, this is, you know, and I think that people write it off as like, well, you know, you got to toughen up and, you know, we throw elbows. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I think what disturbs me about people who run many times for the first time is they don't anticipate that happening, particularly when they go to great lengths to make sure that the incumbent is not going to run again, so they're not really treading on his turf or her turf.
Yep.
They're and that's what she did to me. You look at the procedure that she went through, and she recorded it every step of the way in time and place. You know, she made sure that her opponent was not going to run.
Yeah.
And it wasn't her fault.
And then when she called him, according to her, in quotes, what changed, his response was, "We don't pick our replacements, but you need to roll back your campaign. You're just making it difficult. I mean, after this, he spent 2 hours with her, you know, a year and a half before that, telling her he wasn't going to run.
Yeah, and I'm sure it made it more difficult, you know, for him. Once you had a lot of these races did not have opponents in the primary.
No, he actually had to talk to some constituents.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, yeah, that's good for everybody. You know, if it's making it difficult, I don't care what office you're running for, that means you got to get out and work harder and that you've got to answer some questions.
Might even roll into Decatur and meet a couple people.
Yeah. Well, that district is my,
mine too.
Your too?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, that's what I guess I had special interest in this because it, we have five that touch Macon County. This is one of them. That small part of Macon County, most of it's kind of south into Shelbyville.
But they spent money. I got more direct mail from him than I've ever gotten in my life, you know, during that window of that campaign.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. Yeah, at my house.
And that's what I mean by meeting people in Decatur.
Yeah.
It means it came to you in your mailbox with some boxing gloves and goofy. That's what goes for meeting people today.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think people are getting to the point where, you know, they want something more than just a name, you know, a name on a poster or a name on a postcard. Or,
yeah, but if somebody tries to break that code, this system, this doesn't work anymore. I mean, why would a congresswoman be involved? I mean, why would you be berating people? Why? I mean, you guys don't just pick your own club.
Yeah, and that part of it's
just disrespectful to the voters. But the voters don't care. They're just going to do whatever. I feel like I don't know this woman. I don't know him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's been five terms, and I don't know him. I heard from her running for the first time way more than I've heard from him in five terms.
Yeah, I heard from her, too. Yeah, and just basically explaining when she declared her candidacy, you know, to say she checked all the right boxes. And I think she laid the groundwork for not jumping in and just, you know, regardless of who else is running. And I think she tried to be a good member of the party and say, I don't want to interfere with an incumbent. If he's going to stay in office, I'm not going to run for this office. But if he's leaving and she found out that he was, I was going to run.
Yeah. She did all the respectful stuff up front. And that's what gets you. Well, you know, as the world turns, right?
Yeah.
Shirley Moore.
Uh-huh.
I was thrilled vicariously just to hear you ran into Shirley in this building. I am jealous. I haven't seen her for years.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's kind of strange. When those elevator doors open, you don't know who's going to be there. It's kind of like, you know, most of the time.
It's like a lottery. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the doors opened. Shirley was standing there and just like the years melted away.
Former council member.
Oh, yeah. And Shirley and Dan, her husband.
Great people.
Yeah. And just like you look in the community and you see people many times that go unheralded, you know. Well, Shirley and Dan Moore, you know, Dan, a local attorney, passed away about 10 or 12 years ago. But so active, you know, in so many ways. And Shirley on the library board for many years involved.
Well, they were heavy involved in raising a lot of money for the library to be where it is today.
Yeah. And served on the city council for 2 or 3 terms.
And was a very conscientious, just sort of like middle of the road, you know, do the right thing for the right reason, no agenda kind of smart lady that served on the council.
Yeah, she was.
Like the exact kind of leadership you miss the most, right?
Yeah, and just like I think that's what, you know, after all these years of knowing Shirley and Shirley and Dan, and they came and they marched in the St. Patrick's Day parade, you know, when I ran for mayor, they not only just gave you a lip service, they got out and worked. I know they came to the office and they addressed postcards and flyers and that. You know, they did a lot of the manual stuff like that and just to be a part of it and very much an encouragement to me. And I think over the years, particularly when you've been an editor and publisher as long as I have in this community, you look back and you look at people like Shirley and Dan Moore and think, wow. You know, some incredible people have influenced my life and been a part of my life. And when I see Shirley, elevator's door open, it's like stepping back in time and seeing someone you really think a lot of.
Like the balloons and the confetti and everything to drop, right?
Yeah.
All right. One more interesting thing. We'll do the break. We'll come back. I haven't thought about the Eagle grocery stores for a very long time until I read the bit in your column today. We'll tell you what that's about on the other side of the break. Here's Nick with your 3-day forecast.
Today, we've got a chance of showers with thunderstorms, cloudy with a high of 62. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a low of 45. For Friday, partly sunny, high near 64. Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 50 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:24.
Experience Milliken University firsthand during a campus visit day on Saturday, April 20th. Tour campus to see where you'll live and learn. Explore top-ranked majors and programs and find your fit through athletics, performing arts, and more than 75 student clubs and organizations. Along with important admission information, you'll learn how the new Milliken Tuition Promise makes your private education affordable. You can even submit your free application for admission on the spot. RSVP for the April 20th campus visit day at milliken.edu/visit.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
It took more than makeup, costumes, music, and lights to get me on stage. It took the gift of an organ donor.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part.
Be an organ donor, because life does go on.
Register at lifegoeson.com.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here with the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne. Coming up, Mark Tupper in just a couple of minutes. All right, so they're planning a reunion?
Yeah, those that worked at the Eagle supermarkets and hadn't thought about Eagle for quite a while. And but the lady...
Lisa May.
Yeah, Lisa... trying to get together a reunion, and she wants people to contact her, and be kind of neat, really. People had kind of worked and probably spent years together in the Eagle supermarkets, which no longer exist, obviously. It's just like, it'd be good times. It would be.
Paul, it's like just all about nostalgia today. I got Shirley Stanley. I got Eagle. I'm back here like a long, long time ago.
I remember Eagle very fondly. I was a paper boy, and we'd go there, and kids were given a free donut or a free cookie. So we'd go there after the paper route, and I probably went there thousands of times, literally.
Yeah, I just haven't thought about it in years.
We think about it a lot.
Hey, there's a biplane flying by the window.
There you go. Well, just check it out. You can, if you go to the City Hall Insider page on the Tribune.com. Lisa's contact information is there. If you're a former Eagle employee and you'd be interested in participating in this, there's a couple of ways for them to contact.
That'd be neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's just fun. I read that and I thought, wow, okay, a couple of great things.
Maybe they have a cookie. Maybe they have the cookie for
maybe
Nick.
Maybe they'll do free thinking. Cookies for Nick.
I should show up.
That will guarantee him to show up.
Be there, man.
Yeah. Fun stuff as always. I think we're talking off the air, and I think it's important to know. We've only got like a minute and a half here, but you know, I look back at somebody like Shirley, and it's too bad there are people who don't, you know, probably know her legacy or what she was like. She was always such a joy to have on as a guest, and such a just a council member was there because she wanted the community to be a better place.
Oh yeah.
And I don't ever remember knowing if Shirley was a Democrat or a Republican. It didn't matter. She was just there. And I think that we have the nostalgia for a reason, because I just think we have all too often such a lack of quality in candidates that you look back at people who just did it out of a call for public service and not to feed their ego or do all the things that there's so many of these people doing today. There's a fondness there that's hard to, I know it sounds old fogey, but that used to be more common.
Yeah, I mean, they were considered Democrat, Republican, or whatever. They were just people working for the community because they were honestly motivated to do good.
Yep.
And love those people, still do.
Yeah.
And we still have them around. It's just like maybe they don't surface as much as they used to because of everything else going on. But Yeah, surely just still really just a
jewel. Made me happy to read it, Paul. Thank you for sharing it. I really do appreciate it. All right. So we've got a lot to get to, including Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. A little later today, Debbie Bogle will join us from the United Way. We'll tell you about all the events that are coming up there. And check out the Decatur Tribune. You can go visit them online at DecaturTribune.com. And once again, if you're a former Eagle store employee, they're wanting to put together a union. Contact information is there in the Insider column. Paul, have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday. Paul Osborne, City Hall insider and publisher of the Decatur Tribune. We'll be back after news. Don't go anywhere.
This is R.J. Crace with your stories now. The Staley Museum is honoring former employees of the Staley, Tate & Weil, and Premiant companies at a retiree social on the 21st from 2 to 4. All retirees and former employees of those companies are welcome. It's at the Staley Museum with light refreshments. The museum will be open for viewing. More info at our website, nowdecatur.com. Grocery startups can now apply for funding allocated in last year's $20 million Illinois Grocery Initiative aimed at addressing food deserts. The Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity is accepting applications in the second round of funding, which provides a combined $14 million to grocery stores looking to open in food deserts. More than 3 million Illinoisans are unable to access good food because they might not have enough money, time, or reliable transportation to go shopping. A bill could expand the initiative to include farmer-owned grocery stores. More stories, podcasts, and videos at nowdecatur.com.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden meets with Japan's Prime Minister Kishida Fumio and Philippines President Fernando Marcos Jr. today at the White House. Prime Minister Fumio addresses Congress this morning. He was hosted at a state dinner by the President and First Lady last night.
Join me in raising your glasses to our alliance, to our friendship.
Today's summit is meant to project unity against threats from China. There's storm damage from Texas to Florida and more rough weather in the forecast today.
After a destructive day of flooding, hurricane force winds and tornadoes over the Gulf Coast states, expect to see the risk of large hail, very strong winds, heavy rain and isolated tornadoes for the southeast, the Ohio Valley and mid-Atlantic. The northeast will be impacted Friday and Saturday with more flooding concerns, high winds and severe weather.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. Weather's delayed the start of the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia until 10:30 a.m. America's listening to Fox News.
Tuesdays with Tom, the podcast where real estate meets community. This week, join Tom and special guests Evan Hall and Wendy Harned as they discuss the Macon County Fair. Discover all of the changes and upgrades being made to the grounds, exciting new features planned for the 2024 fair, and learn how you can get involved. Whether you're a fair enthusiast or just looking for a fun community event, this episode is for you. Tune in this Tuesday for an exciting and informative conversation with Tom, Evan, and Wendy. Don't miss out. Hit that follow button and join us on this exciting journey.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Well, we're going to be slogging through the rain today, but better days ahead.
That's right. There's a chance of showers and a chance of thunderstorms. Cloudy with a high of 62 for today. Then tonight, that chance of rain and thunderstorms continues. Mostly cloudy with a low of 45. For Friday, partly sunny, high near 64. Then Saturday, all the way sunny and a high near 74. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 50 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
T Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. Each and every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right. I don't know if it's because we got so many first-time winners this year, the big names, outside of Scottie Scheffler struggling a little bit. Not as much buzz heading into Augusta this weekend.
Well, I totally agree. Rain this morning and wind delaying the start. I don't know if others agree with this, but other than Tiger Woods saying that he thinks he can still win another major, I've barely heard any buzz coming out of Augusta in advance of this year's Masters, which is supposed to run today through Sunday in Georgia. Now, is that because I've been too wrapped up in the NCAA basketball tournaments? That's possible. Or is this the mood of apathy that I mentioned due to the bickering that kind of drones on between the PGA and LIV? I think if you were there, as our friend Kevin Verhaeghe is, you would feel some excitement. There's no doubt about that. And I'm hoping to feel it at some point this week and weekend as the golfers get out there. And I'm sure they'll create some buzz with their shot making. There's just too many great golfers out there. But let's start with Tiger. Number one, he's playing, and that's news in that we can no longer take that for granted. It's not a given. And number two, he says he thinks he could still win a major if everything comes together. Okay. But that unfortunately seems to be fantasy to me, because I would say Tiger having one championship level round would be fantastic. But him and his fragile body stringing together four rounds like that in 4 days just seems too far-fetched to hope for. I mean, it would be pure Hollywood to see Tiger light that place on fire and remind the world, you know, how exciting golf at this level can be. But just making the cut and holding it together physically for 4 days, you know, and finishing 31st or something, I think that would be pretty remarkable given the limited activity he's been able to come up with lately. So focus elsewhere, probably. You know, John Rahm's in the field, Scottie Scheffler. I'm right with you on Rory. I'll be rooting for Rory every shot, every day. Wyndham Clark is an interesting guy playing in his first Masters, but he's been as hot as just about anybody. I just hope some irresistible storyline develops, because this is a great tournament on a great golf course that the golfers say is in the best shape it's been in for years. And even the rain today, I don't think will spoil that. And this tournament, of course, has a history for great drama. And I'm sure we'll feel it as the weekend unfolds. I just don't feel it yet. And like I said, I'm right with you on Rory. I'll be rooting for him.
No doubt. Mark, can you believe Tiger's older than Jack Nicklaus was when he came back at that ancient age to win the Masters back in the 80s?
It's amazing. It's amazing, amazing.
There you go. All right. On the other side of the break, we got a whole potpourri of sporting items to get to, including Illini hoops. We'll do that right after the break. This Look at Tupper brought to you by First National Bank. Big Bank products, local bank service.
Spring is here, and a perfect time to take advantage of a CD special from First National Bank of Decatur, offering an annual percentage yield as high as 5.28% for 9 months, depending on the product type. For details, visit either Decatur branch at 1688 Baltimore Road or downtown in the Milliken Building. You can also visit one of our other branches in Pena, Assumption, Taylorville, or Blue Mound. First National Bank of Decatur, the quality bank. FNB Quality. Member FDIC.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with the Illini.
Well, there's a lot of speculation about transfers, and one of which is Kylan Boswell, who's a 6'2 guard, real strong-bodied, thick guard, who played at Arizona, started for Arizona, and Arizona had a really good team this year. Grew up in Champaign, played there until he went out west, ended up playing the conclusion of his high school career for Compass Prep out in Arizona, which produces a lot of terrific players, reclassified so he could start his college career a year earlier. And 2 years ago, he was the youngest player in college basketball. He's played 2 years at Arizona. He's still 18 years old. And a lot of people saying he will be committing to Illinois. Okay, well, let's see if that happens. They've gotten Trey White, the 6'7 kid from Louisville. They've gotten Jake Davis, the 6'6 kid from Mercer. They still need a big man, but that's going to be worth watching and then see how he can develop. He had kind of an up and down season for Arizona, but let's keep an eye on that. And then switching over to college football, Northwestern, as you know, has torn their football stadium down. They're building a brand new football stadium, but they won't be able to occupy that until the 2026 season. So the conversation obviously is where are they going to play their home games this year? And a lot of places have been talked about, but the university has announced that they are pulling together a temporary stadium on the shores of Lake Michigan that will accommodate this season's football, soccer, and lacrosse games with temporary seating for about 15,000. And they're going to play some games elsewhere. I know Soldier Field and Wrigley Field are still in play. And I know they've moved their Wisconsin home game up to Lambeau Field on October 19th. But having grown up in Evanston, I can tell you when you get into November and you're on the shores of Lake Michigan, that can be wicked. And Illinois plays there on November 30th, the final game of the season, and I'll be really curious to see. I've seen the artist rendition of how this looks. I'll be curious to see the photographs when we see how accurate those renditions were about how this looks, where this sits, how close to the water are they. I think it's an interesting concept, but I want to see what it actually looks like. Sport Talk tonight from 5 to 6. Tim Kaine and I will be in the studio. Scott Chapman will be with us. I talked to Scott, and he wants to jabber about some Cardinal stuff, so I'm sure we'll do that and more. Hope you can join us.
All right, my friend. Have a great day. We will check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Yeah, Jack Nicklaus was 46 years old when he won his 18th and final major championship in 1986 at Augusta. It was the 50th anniversary of the Masters, and he won. And it was so like what it would be today if Tiger were to win, like that kind of not a shot going in.
Sure.
And ends up winning. Tiger's now 2 years older than that. He's 48 years old. And I felt like maybe it was because whatever age I was at the time in 1986, like to me, Tiger doesn't feel like as old as Jack Nicklaus felt to me then. Well, does that make sense?
It does. I will tell you the what I've felt about Tiger was must-see TV.
Yeah.
And then on his way back, he won that masterful
2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, defying the odds areas. And then you gave it a couple more shots where you're like, magic can happen again. I think we're to the point now that where Mark is, a golf watcher.
Yeah, no.
That if he's 30th,
but no one would have given Jack Nicklaus a chance in 1986. I'm saying that he was in that space that Tiger is in now in 1986 when he won his last 18th.
I'm only pointing out that's where I feel he's on the tribute tour now.
He's been on the tribute tour for quite a while.
Even in the fans' eyes?
No, that's what I mean, in reality.
I think the fans have finally.
I think the fans are aging out, too.
That's part of it.
You know, most of these, the Rory McIlroys of the world grew up watching Tiger Woods. You know, the Jordan Spieths, the Justin Thomas, you know, these guys are way younger than him. So you've got the next age of people coming through. Speaking of next age, you want to just feel old. Do you see you got called up to the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Matt Holliday's son.
Yeah.
Jackson Holliday.
Biggest prospect in the sport.
I know, but doesn't that Matt Holliday doesn't seem that long ago.
With my own eyes, saw Matt Holliday the other day. Looks great. It's hard to believe that he has a son that's of MLB age.
But then not at all when you think about Tom Brady playing with kids that weren't even born, you know, when he started.
Yeah, the NBA, LeBron is.
Same thing, right?
Yeah. I have your poster up still in my room.
Exactly. It's got to be weird.
It is very
weird. Don't make it weird, bro.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I just saw that. Matt Holliday was such a stud.
Oh, man, athletically, with the power in the way that he threw the ball, he fielded his position, hit the ball. I mean, just a phenomenal baseball player, megastar.
Yeah, he was buddies with Ricky Fowler. I don't know if they lived, but like when we go to spring training, you know, you'd be down on the field in the batting cage, you know, like Ricky would be hanging out.
They have the same vibe. kind of vibe, chilling.
Yeah, a little bit, except one looks like an oak tree standing next to a dandelion.
That's very true. Yeah, they're not the same physicality.
Not at all. No. Both professional athletes.
Right. Yeah, Holiday looks awesome still.
Well, good for him. I didn't realize his kid. I mean, I'd heard that name. I just didn't connect that name to Matt Holiday.
Yeah.
Just got called up. So there you go. All right. On the other side of the break, we've got, like, I've got just tons. You know, it's one of those, I'm not sure we're going to get to all of it, but we'll do our best. Some of it might need to pull over into tomorrow. But I saw a story last night that totally exemplified our whole senior games discussion. Yeah.
Okay.
And Tiger wouldn't be yet eligible for those.
He'd have a shot at winning the golf part.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's still got 2 years before he could participate.
It's funny.
All right. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Give the entryway to your home a brand new look with Larson Doors, now at Menards. Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. The Lakeview Storm Door features a screen-away retractable screen that disappears when not in use. It's on sale now through April 14th. Save big money on Larson Storm Doors and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, you see a huge group of people and maybe they're in line to do something and they seem happy about it. You have to wonder, okay, what am I missing? What's going on here? What are these people excited about? Well, in this case, it's thousands of people and they're joining MediShare. Why? Well, MediShare is a much more affordable alternative to health insurance. It's reliable, too. It's a well-run community of Christians. They've been sharing each other's medical expenses for more than 30 years, so it's proven. And if you switch, you'll likely save hundreds of dollars a month. Most members wind up paying about half what they used to. And you know what? They find they like it better. MediShare's member satisfaction rate is 98%. That's way better than health insurance, as you might imagine. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. You get telehealth 24/7. Huge freedom in choosing your doctors. At least check into it. This may be one of those things where you're like, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Why not start saving now? Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
The 2024 St. Teresa High School Mega Raffle is going on now. The fundraiser helps St. Teresa offer a faith-based education to students in our area. Tickets are now on sale, and you can have a chance to win $100,000. Take advantage of special bundles by purchasing multiple tickets, increasing your odds of winning. Early bird drawing is April 12th, and final drawing is May 24th. Buy your tickets today for a chance to win $100,000 by calling 875-7950 or online at sttmega.com.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. I want to introduce you to Donna Jean Wild, who is a retired Canadian vice principal and teacher in a town called McGrath in Alberta, Canada. She now holds the Guinness World Record for the longest plank held by a female of any age. She's a 58-year-old grandmother of 11.
Nice.
And she now holds the world record 4 hours, 30 minutes, and 11 seconds.
Awesome. How do you find out you have that skill?
Uh-huh.
How do you practice for that?
You plank up to 6 hours a day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she did her master's doing this. She just does everything in a plank position. If you read, study, work on whatever, just... But all I'm saying is she's 58 years old.
Awesome.
And it wasn't a record of women over 50.
All women.
It was a record all of time. Female. Just saying. She doesn't need Velcro shoes. Doesn't need shoes at all.
So my takeaway is that they should add a plank competition to the Guinness.
All I'm saying is I read that after our conversation yesterday. I said, good for her.
That's awesome.
And she looks great. I mean, she looks like unbelievable fitness for a 58-year-old. But that record wasn't just for like a certain age category. It was for women. And she now holds the Guinness World Record until someone else does. I just think that what we're, you know, we had this conversation about Caitlin Clark versus three-point line versus size of basketball. And I think, you know, think about, go back to 1962 when the Masters was on black and white and Jack Nicklaus was a chubby kid, right? The equipment he was playing with wasn't any remotely in the universe that the equipment even Tiger Woods was playing with in his youth.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Certainly not by today's standards, not even in the same. We're
talking about technology instead of sticks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Right. I mean, what a driver looks like today, what wedges are made. I mean, putters, the whole golf ball itself.
Right.
Is probably significantly more different than the size of a basketball or even a three-point line. I mean, in its sport.
The parallels would be like auto racing. That's probably a closer parallel. I mean, in the terms of like looking at old footage versus what they use today, it's not even the same way.
Here's the same way. But parallel to the three-point line, meaning if I can hit a golf ball 370 yards when 280 would have been considered long when right. Jack Nicklaus was playing, then I'm shooting at a green from a whole different area yeah. than the players of the past. So therefore, the three-point line, the different line, I mean, you're playing a different game.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point about, like, as compared to basketball. You know, where are you shooting from
sure.
on the floor or on the golf course? Whole different level.
Yep.
You know, and Jack was considered to be unnaturally long then.
Oh.
You know, compared to his contemporaries. You know, the Arnold Palmers, the other people. He would seem to have an advantage off the tee that would be ranked 80, 100, 150th today on the tour.
Right.
So you always get this with sports. I mean, you always do. And so do we go, well, he had 18 majors, but Tiger had 15. And how do you reconcile it? It's you got to keep score somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I had to put my top 10 golfer list together, I think I'd probably put Tiger Woods ahead of Jack Nicklaus as the greatest golfer of all time, just because of the dynamic culturally and every other way that he changed the game.
Yeah.
He's got 15 wins. So Jack had three more. There's no dispute on who won the most majors.
Sure.
And Jack probably was harder to get his 18 than Tiger's 15. Because Jack didn't dominate the way. I mean, Jack was playing in a field with a lot of good golfers. And so was Tiger. But Phil Mickelson's on that list, too. You know, he's the bad guy now, you know, to a lot of people. But he certainly, I mean, I don't think this year was the first time an amateur won a PGA Tour event since Phil Mickelson did it way back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how dynamic he was coming out of the gate as a college player. Won a PGA tournament before he was a professional.
Wow.
And it took that long for that to happen again. I don't know who else would be. I think certainly Nick Faldo's on that list. Certainly Arnold Palmer.
Is Palmer, Nicklaus, and Woods etched in full-fledged stone on the Mount Rushmore? Is the fourth spot up for grabs?
Oh, sure.
But, I mean, are those three, like, locks?
They, if you just say popularity-wise, name and recognition-wise, you know.
I mean, all things considered, they're on a whole nother plateau than everyone else, right?
No.
No?
No. Byron Nelson, Sam Snead. There are other golfers. They just not in your lifetime or your sphere. Like, you didn't watch them play.
Yeah.
And if you know, I think Gary Player's got to be on that list.
Okay.
I'd like to slap the guy who came up with the whole Mount Rushmore thing because it's like, well, there's only this many faces.
Well, true. But like in boxing, you can't do one without Muhammad Ali, period.
No, but Muhammad Ali
is golf?
Tiger Woods.
So Tiger is the one?
Because the cultural.
Okay.
Muhammad Ali was an exciting fighter, but he ended terribly and he lost fights. I mean, you know, Mike Tyson was probably in his prime the most fierce heavyweight boxer in the history of heavyweight boxing.
Excitement. I mean,
and his impact on the culture, you know, I don't think you can show up in, you know, whatever that. The Hangover or whatever yeah. and had the same cultural impact that right. Muhammad Ali had. Muhammad Ali was bigger than the sport.
Right.
And I think that's what Tiger Woods was, right?
Yep.
Jack Nicklaus was Sugar Ray Leonard or any other. I mean, you know, Oscar De La Hoya. I mean, you know, give me a great golfer that played for a long time.
So he could potentially be argued off, but Tiger cannot.
No, Jack is
locked in.
It's just who's arguing over who's one or two.
So those two are the only.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, that's what I was trying to gather. These arguments are silly, but
they are. But I think Sam Snead, Arnold Palmer, Bobby Jones, Ben Hogan, Ben Hogan probably number three. And people don't realize, you know, that he wouldn't even give up after a car crash. I mean, with the back injury and the whole other thing. And so there's the modern era, Tiger and Phil, and probably Nick Faldo, and he's a little older than both of them, but those are the out of the top 10.
All right, nice.
Probably. But I think Tiger, even though on paper he has more tour victories than Jack Nicklaus.
But he changed the whole game forever.
But you, the kids you brought into it, the numbers, the eyeballs, the money, the messaging, all of that. And he also, you know, Nicklaus didn't have a lot of scandal and, you know, goofy stuff like that either. But I don't think that they played the same game.
Yeah, no, they did not.
But once again, equipment, age, all of that. What would a 21-year-old Jack Nicklaus have been like in 1997?
Right.
So they do that thing off the you know, it used to be so cool because the first tee they would bring out Palmer and Nicklaus and Player, and they would hit an honorary tee shot off the first tee at the Masters to kick things off. Nice. That was always really, really cool. And you kind of been like watching it, knew it wasn't going to be forever because these guys are going to get too old to do this. And then it's kind of moved on a little bit. But the ambassadors of the game, you know, I think Seve Ballesteros, was one of those guys that wasn't popular here because he was always the guy on the other side of the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
The fiery dude, you know, the one that would be, when you talk about like 65 wins.
That's crazy.
You know, Tiger Woods had 83, right?
Yeah.
Gary Player has 150 worldwide wins.
Seriously?
Huh?
Oh, wow. That's getting it done.
Yeah, but only 24 PGA Tour victories. Because he played overseas, but he's got 9 majors.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Where's Chi-Chi Rodriguez fall?
Chi-Chi Rodriguez, as Les Nessman once said.
He's the one who played the swords, right? Or like he drew, like, would grab his club and act like he was dueling.
I think he was more of a character than, you know, he was a good golfer. They're all good golfers. Yeah. The thing about golf is, you know, no one's paying you.
Yeah.
You got to be good.
Yep.
And the difference between good and great is probably mental more than anything than any other sport.
And great,
other than maybe hitting a baseball.
And great means you make enough money off your sponsors to do okay. Good means you might not pay for your clubs.
Good means I'm struggling down here on the Symmetra Tour trying to win gas money to get to the next thing.
Yeah.
And I'm only this couple of degrees off of that person making millions.
Sports like that, and parallel to our love of F1.
6/100ths of a second.
People don't understand. It just, that little thing.
I know. That's why it's so much of it is mental.
Yeah.
You know, Rory has all the physical talents to win at Augusta.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing now for him because he can't get over the hump and then he puts more pressure on him. I mean, you know, he doesn't play like Rory McIlroy there.
Right.
Didn't make the cut last year. Kevin and I followed him around, in the practice rounds and he looked great. He felt loose and then he missed the cut.
It's unbelievable.
So anyway, it's a fun conversation. If you watch it, if somebody gets going, the roars there are different.
Yeah.
The only place you'll get louder or more intense is a Ryder Cup, you know, on a home course. If the home team's doing well, that's the most intense thing this sport has to offer. And it is way different than anything else. If it's close, if it's a blowout, you know, it's half that. But the roars at Augusta are fun. And the people, the views you get there, it's just, they have figured out how to have the right combination to be profitable, but not pack it so you can't see anything. It's just a recipe that works, and it doesn't work anywhere else.
Make that money on the TV side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one year they were getting boycotted, and they self-funded. They didn't even have advertising. They just paid CBS. All right, we got to take a break for top of the hour stories and news. A little bit later today, Debbie Bogle will be with us from the United Way. We'll tell you how you can get involved, preview some of their events coming up, including the food truck frenzy. We're going to take a top of the hour news break. Back with more right after this.
We're everywhere you are. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories. Now, Illinoisans could have increased access to genetic cancer screening if the General Assembly approves a measure that would require insurance coverage for those tests. State law currently requires insurance to cover genetic testing for breast and ovarian cancers and annual screenings for prostate, pancreatic, colon, and skin cancers for those with a family history of cancer or a doctor's recommendation. Under this bill, insurance would cover prevention and susceptibility screening, including genetic testing for all types of cancer for those with a family history. The bill is expected to get a final vote in the Senate as early as this week. Due to popular demand, the Decatur Park District has another Rolling Back Time roller skating event at the Fairview Park Pavilion the next 2 weekends. Dates are tomorrow through Sunday and next Friday through Sunday. It's $6 for admission for 1 hour. You can bring your own skates or rent a pair for $3. Concessions will also be available for purchase. Learn more at nowdecatur.com.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.